Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Saturday morning. Riding with the King. Today, as there always is on Saturday, a lot of things going on. The anticipated debut, although it is in a exhibition game in preseason, Bryce Harper will hit against something other than batting practice. That simulated nonsense that they went through where Eichhoff was pitching, you know, with a net behind him. It's batting practice. It really is batting practice. So it is a little bit different today. There'll be a real pitcher. Spring training's not the best gauge, and you won't see him in the field because he's going to DH. I don't know how many at-bats he's going to get. If he's going to DH, they might as well just give him four at-bats if he can play the whole game. But Bryce Harper plays today, so your anticipation for that, I'm sure, is many people will be excited to see him actually swing at a real pitcher, try to hit real pitches rather than simulated pitches. So that's a part of it, part of some of the things we can talk about today. But nothing has happened yet. So what has happened is the Eagles, and it's not official, but everybody knows about it now. It's amazing. The NFL is not supposed to announce signings or trades or anything until March 13th. It's the start of the new league year. I don't know what the reason for that is. I don't know if somebody could beat the system with salary cap. I don't know why they do that. And once you make a trade, you make a trade. And the fact that they've already made it, but they can't announce it, is just, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that you can't officially announce it, because everybody knows it. The Eagles traded Michael Bennett yesterday. And there are multiple reasons for that. And I think it all started to reach the interest stage when Michael Bennett was on the NFL Network yesterday morning. It's amazing how affable he is. He's been on there other times. I guess he enjoys going on with those people, or just enjoys, for what he doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy, and I've spoken to him a little bit, know him a little bit. He doesn't get let many people, I don't even know how many of his teammates, other than Chris Long, who had the locker next to him, let him get to know him. But it just seems like because he's going on the NFL Network, he likes attention. And he doesn't seem like he's that kind of guy, but he obviously is, in a weird way, that kind of guy. But he's gone, but he was on yesterday. And they asked him about the trade rumors. And, yeah, he's heard it. But he said that, and paraphrasing, that he wants a pay raise. He wants to get more money. Well, that started the ball rolling. And it didn't just start it yesterday. But that kind of brought it to a head. And a lot of teams wanted to make their moves yesterday. They wanted to do it by the end of the week, even though they had a few days next week to be able to do it. I think they want to sign people next week, because on March 11th, they're allowed to talk to other free, officially talk. This is the joke. This is what the joke. It's like free agency opens up at a certain period. I forget which sport it was, that at the strike of midnight, and I think it's the NBA, you're allowed to start talking to people at midnight, whatever the date was. And they make announcements of deals 1 minute after midnight. So you have all these different rules that nobody follows. And it's not a big deal. But it's obvious and the Steelers wanted to trade Antonio Brown by Friday, because everybody likes to do that, and then he wouldn't go to the Buffalo Bills. I guess I understand that, but there's not many options for him. I think in the end, the Steelers are not going to get a good draft pick for him. And who knows, the Steelers don't want to pay him the $2.2 million in a roster bonus if he's on by, I think it's March 17th. So they want to get rid of him before that, and they might just have to cut him. Rather than paying that money, they might just have to cut him. Because he can create a problem. He says he's not going to report. Now, if I'm a team that wants to trade for him, I would trade for him and then say, hey, listen, you're going to sit out the whole year? Because he wants a new contract. He's under contract for the next 3 years, but he wants another contract. I love these players that want contracts, but I'll get to Antonio Brown in a second. Michael Bennett was the same way. Now, I don't know if he gave them an ultimatum, but and I guess I should apologize that I didn't know this stuff during the season, but I didn't think there was any reason to kind of sort it out during the season with the issues of a player who seemed to be doing what the team said, seemed to be getting along with everybody, and seemed to be, and I'll explain this in a second, seemed to be playing well. Because you look at all his numbers, and I'm talking about Michael Bennett, obviously. He had, nine sacks. I'll get the number of the sacks, the hits. He was high in the top five in hits and pressures and all those things. But then when you start checking, because he wanted a pay raise and his agent asked for it during the season, he wanted something like $10 million plus a year, and he's making 7.2. Now, why would the Eagles do that? So you've got to understand it from their standpoint. Then, in checking it out, what he wanted to do to build up what he thought was to build up his value, and he may with another team, and he may not. Traded to the Patriots. I don't know that the Patriots are going to give him a raise. Patriots just seem to take players that are unhappy somewhere, and they go somewhere else. And the Patriots let a defensive end go, Trey Flowers, who had a good year last year too, by his numbers. But anyway, checking into the Michael Bennett situation, when I watched him, I thought he played really well. When I watched him, it was clear that he was playing hurt. It was clear what he was trying to do, and maybe he was trying to do that to get a new contract. Whatever the reason, it appeared to me he certainly played hurt, so there's no question about that. I thought he played well, but now I find out there is a question about that. He was really not very good against the run. And from what the feeling was within the organization, he didn't care about playing well against the run because he wanted to get his numbers on quarterback sacks, hits, pressures. He wanted to get all those, and he didn't really care about being a good defensive end and defensive lineman against the run. I'm sure some people remember that Adrian Peterson 99-yard run. The Redskins are on the one-yard line, and they get a 99-yard run from Adrian Peterson for a touchdown. Michael Bennett didn't care about the run, made a mistake on that play. And I forget which Dallas game it was. He was brutal against the run. And then he wouldn't rotate to different sides, which older players do that. All the players on the defensive line will do what the coaches want and move around. Defensive ends flip back and forth. Brandon Graham will play both sides. Derek Barnett, when he comes back, he will play both sides. But Michael Bennett only wanted to play on one side, and he refused to play on the other side. So you find out, and again, I apologize that I didn't even think to check. Sometimes the stuff falls in your lap, and you say, "Wow, how did that happen?" And sometimes you got to search a little bit. And I didn't think there was any reason to search. You got to search a little bit. And I didn't think that there was reason to do that. So now I find out all these other things about Michael Bennett, and they certainly weren't going to give him more money. Tried to restructure and then build some money in and give him some money up front. He just wanted more money. So in the end, it didn't work out for the Eagles, and that's why they traded him. But they do have to find a replacement. Vinnie Curry's out there. Patriots defensive end Trey Flowers, Dante Fowler from the Rams. You wonder how some of these players get out there. I understand Vinnie Curry. Somebody else, when Vinnie got hurt, somebody else came in. But I don't know if that's the top priority. Vinnie Curry's the top priority, certainly getting another player to put in there. And you will see there will be trade or trades by the Eagles. I don't think there's any question about that. There will be free agent signings by the Eagles. Obviously, that's why they restructure contracts to open up the money to allow them to sign free agents. So there will be some things that happen this week. And there's no question. Every team does it. The Eagles do it more. They know there's some areas in which they have to improve. They know they have to get a running back. I believe they're going to get one without question in the draft, but they're going to sign a running back outside of that. I don't think there's any question about that. Wide receiver, likely to sign, and not Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell, two guys that aren't good teammates, two players that don't care about their teammates, and two players that only care about the money. And to give all that money to a running back is ridiculous. And then if you bring in Antonio Brown, you're going to have to give a lot of money to him, and that's going to be ridiculous. So I would be totally shocked. And the Eagles didn't want him before, but the asking price by the Steelers has to drop dramatically. But again, the problem with Antonio Brown, and the Bills have all kinds of money under the cap. The problem, the Bills have no problem paying them. The Eagles do. So we'll talk about that today. Your anticipation of Bryce Harper. How do you feel about the Eagles getting rid of Michael Bennett? And when you look at their future, and Michael Bennett, the other thing I found out, not everybody, there's always players that don't like other players. But there's players that didn't like the fact that they felt that Michael Bennett was selfish because he wanted to do just what he wanted to do and just build up his numbers. And that's not going to make other people happy. And then certainly we'll talk about the Sixers last night against the good teams from the West. They're just not, it shows you the difference with the better teams, and the Sixers are a good team, with the better teams than the Sixers. And I know they didn't have Embiid, but I don't know that Embiid would have made the difference. I don't think, matter of fact, I'm sure Embiid would not have made the difference last night. People look at Ben Simmons, but one of the things that I always try to look at is how many turnovers he had. He had 7 turnovers. Okay, he had 10 assists, but he had 7 turnovers. Minus 15. And you say, well, they got beat by 16 points. Tobias Harris had 31 points, but he was minus 20 in the plus-minus. All the starters, except Amir Johnson, who didn't play that many minutes, although he was a starter. I'm just looking at the other players. They were all minus, but Ben Simmons shouldn't be minus 15. And then you look at Ben Simmons, he was 6 for 15. He only shoots layups and shots from within 3 feet. 6 for 15 is bad when you look at that. And Kobe Bryant made a comment yesterday, and I tweeted his comment. But when other players come out, and especially Kobe Bryant comes out and says something, then you better wake up, and Ben Simmons should wake up to the fact that he needs in some way to find a shot. But we'll talk about that today, too. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494, on your cell phones. And that's AT&T, the service that I use, pound 9494, and Verizon, which is pound 9494. I'll mention something which is important to me. I'll mention that when we come back as well. And hopefully it's important to other people. And we'll talk about that when we come back. And we'll get to the phones. 94 WIP, I'm Howard Eskin, WIP Sports Time 815. WIP. I love the people, and Elliott Shore Parks is one of them. They think the world comes to an end if the Eagles don't get Le'Veon Bell. If you look at the Eagles' success, they won a Super Bowl, and was there a star running back? There were good running backs. Jay Ajayi did a very nice job. Wasn't a game changer. LeGarrette Blount did a really nice job. Wasn't a game changer. Comes down to your offensive line. Doesn't come down to your running back. And in today's world in the NFL, if you're going to spend a lot of money, and that's what Le'Veon Bell is, a lot of money for a running back, you are making a serious, serious mistake. There's nothing wrong with getting a good running back, but you don't have to spend $18 to $20 million on a running back. I'd rather put that in the offensive line. And one other thing, and I'll get to the calls. The Eagles Autism Challenge now with trying to, there's so many things going on in sports. Obviously, last week I did the show from Clearwater. I really thought it was important that I go down there for the Bryce Harper news conference, and it was important. It was important to talk to people. It was important to touch base. It was important. And so I went down there. So I'm going to go to the NFL owners meetings, which are March 24th, so I've got some time. But I just want to put the effort that I did last year and through so much help, and I'm telling you, so much help from you, from the listeners, from people, that whatever it was, to raise over $126,000 last year was, I still don't understand how I did it. Now, I had large donations by people, and I had small donations. I've had $5 donations. If everybody that follows me on Twitter, and it's 124,500, put in $1, it sounds crazy, but I know everybody wouldn't do that. But if everybody would do it $1, boy, how much would that mean? But I have an item out there today, which I think is great, and I'll buy it, and I got it to raise money for a donation. The Greek Freak Giannis, I'm not even going to attempt his last name. The picture of the autographed game issued jersey, and obviously the picture of him. It's a Bucks jersey. Well, that's who he plays for. Game issue jersey, autographed by the player that is, I think, I would be shocked if he's not the MVP this year, just between him and Harden. And the fact that he's gotten that team to play so well, I would think he's the MVP. And I started at $900. Somebody told me that it's probably worth at least $1,500 to $2,000. And it's a donation, but don't put it in yet, but let me know that you want to bid for it. And if somebody wants to put in, I saw this morning somebody put in $20, that's great. There's people that put in $25, $20, like I said, $5, $10, whatever it is. And the link is on my Twitter page and also on Facebook. So if you want to do that, and if you want to bid it, just let me know what the number is, and I'll keep people informed. I'll keep that up for no more than a couple of days. All right, let's go to the phones. And Kirk, you're on WIP.
Hello?
Yes. You're on the air.
Hey, Howard.
Yes.
Great show. Great show. Great station. We got the greatest.
Well, yeah, it's a great station. Everybody that calls up to everybody's show, great show. And I understand that. If you enjoy
it. No, but it is.
Yeah,
think
all right,
about
thanks.
It. We got the greatest sports down in the world.
Yep.
That being said, you know what, Howard? I've never really been a big fan of Jim Schwartz and all. And the fact that they brought in the guy, Matt Burke, he's one of his boys, right? Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the Jim Schwartz philosophy of defense only works with a powerful D-line. Now, you know.
Well, tell me what. All right, I'm going to go back to Spagnuolo. Spags, as we like to call him, right? Good defensive coach with the Giants when they won a Super Bowl, correct?
Yeah.
Did you look at that defensive line? Now, when he went to other teams, how well did he do without a good defensive line? Went to other teams as a head coach and as a defensive coordinator. How well did he do?
Well, the point I'm saying is I think Jim Schwartz's philosophy only works if you got like four Fletcher Coxes up.
Well,
front.
Wait a minute. But
he refuses to blitz.
Well, no, he doesn't refuse to blitz. He believes, in a lot of cases, he's right, that by blitzing, you expose. How good was their secondary this year? Let me just, before I get to that. How good was the Eagles secondary?
Answer my question.
How good was the Eagles secondary?
They tackled better at the end of the season.
No, they weren't very good, right, for most of the season.
But they tackled better.
Well, it doesn't matter about tackling. There's coverage. So the more people you have in coverage, it usually is better, and you hope. And they did have some really good players to get to the quarterback. They had Fletcher Cox. Brandon Graham was hot and cold, but you still have Brandon Graham. You had Michael Bennett to get to him, although I find out he wasn't very good against the run. Like, regardless of what you think your philosophy is, and I don't know what other teams do, if that's the reason you're complaining about Jim Schwartz, then you're making a mistake.
Well, I'm just hoping that the Eagles go after somebody for their D-line.
Well, after getting rid of Michael Bennett, they will.
Well, they're probably not going to go big name. I mean, Clowney and DeLawrence are staying put, correct?
Well, they franchised those players.
Oh, they did.
And thanks for the call, Kirk. People complained when they signed Brandon Graham. They say, how could you sign him for that kind of money? You know, you look at last year, and it wasn't one of his better years, but that gives him reason to come back and have a better year. But you say, how could you sign him? And they say, well, you got D. Ford, you got Clowney. D. Ford was franchised. Clowney was franchised. You go right down the list of the defensive ends, which didn't leave many good ones. So with that being the case, Brandon Graham would have gotten good money out there, and the Eagles signed him before he could get out into the open market. And obviously they did a nice job by reading the market. But when you complain about Jim Schwartz, it's such an old complaint. You know, you listen to that has been Seth Joyner, who has totally lost touch with the way things go in the NFL today, and he just whines and complains all the time. He does really whine and complain a lot. It's not about blitzing all the time. Seth Joyner had the luxury of Reggie White, Clyde Simmons, Jerome Brown, had the luxury of all those guys on the defensive line, which kind of opened it up for him. So if people complain too much, oh, he's got to blitz more. The way you'd like to do it is pressure from your four defensive linemen. And it's not a bad way to do it. They did it. They've done it and been successful many times. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
Good morning.
Hey, Howard, let me ask something. Isn't it so nice to 6-0 with LaFraud and that nonsense out in L.A.? He is such, you know.
I told
to
people
everybody.
It would have been a mistake, and all these people, oh, I want LeBron James, I want LeBron. He has ruined. you know, that team should have made the playoffs, but he has ruined the Lakers.
He certainly has. I'm telling you, I'm so glad we don't have that circus here. Ugh. And Kobe Bryant, I'm so glad Kobe came out and said it about Ben Simmons. You know, when is Ben Simmons going to wake up, Howard? When the hell is he going to wake up?
He's got to get a shot. He's got to develop a shot.
Sorry to LeBron lovers. Kobe's a better player. I take Kobe any day over LeBron.
Oh, I would too. I would too. And to pass Michael Jordan, like, who cares? Because he took over 3,200 more threes. And for people that say, well, Michael Jordan should have taken the threes, back when Michael Jordan was playing, they didn't shoot many threes. The Sixers won a title. The year they won the title, when they only lost one game in the playoffs, they only shot one three the entire playoff.
Amazing. Andrew Tony, I guess, probably, Howard.
I don't know who. It doesn't matter who it was. The fact that they only shot one three.
But I'm saying that's probably.
I don't care who shot it. That's not the point. The point is
they didn't
shoot threes back then. And the defense, you could go right there. Michael Jordan played today.
Can we finally I'm so tired hearing about this triple-double, Howard. The assist is a joke anymore. It's not even a true assist anymore, you know?
No, because you used to not be able to dribble and after the pass for the player to get an assist. Now they give assist on everything.
Everything. That's why these numbers are
But anyway, what'd you call? You called about the Eagles? Did you call about
I did. I mean, I'm not up in arms about Bennett move because, you know, he wants a strong on him. See you later, you know? I'm sorry. I mean, these players, he's under contract.
He doesn't want a strong arm. He wanted more money, and they didn't want to give him more money.
And they didn't. And do you think they're going to get...
Sign a contract. I have a problem. A guy signed a contract.
I know.
You play bad, do you give any money back? If you play poorly, do you give money back? No.
No.
So,
Le'Veon Bell, $20 million for a running back? Are you kidding me?
It ain't happening.
And also... I would love to see him go out and sign the defensive lineman. Do you think Malik Jackson of Jacksonville released, they might sign him? He might fit in for Jernigan, possibly, Howard.
I think, there's no question they're going to do something. They're going to add a defensive lineman. There's no question. There's no question they're going to add a running back. There's no question they're going to add a receiver. How they do that is the only question. But the Eagles will. There's absolutely no question in my mind come Monday. I think Monday's the date they're allowed to talk to other officially, which is it's kind of a joke in the NFL. There will be no question. There will be players that the Eagles add before they get to the draft. Drew, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
Hi.
I don't think I'm alone as far as Sixers fans that have been frustrated with Brett Brown's execution, ability to coach the team to endgame execution for a couple of years now. So this is not new, and I just wanted to get your current view because that loss the other night, the last 5-second inbounds play, is one of the worst botched end-of-game defensive schemes I've ever seen in basketball. I mean, anybody knows that with 4.6 seconds left, all you needed to do was get the ball out of Zach LaVine's hands once, and you would create a better shot, a weaker shot attempt than what happened. So I don't get
it. Sounds simple, but it sounds so simple. Here's the reality: he ran off a screen, I don't know. That's not the coach's fault because Jimmy Butler has got to find a way. Jimmy Butler was guarding the inbound. I've seen that play a lot. Let's put it this way: enough, where the inbounder gets the ball back, but gets it back off of running off a screen. And Jimmy Butler's got to find a way to stay with him. And when he didn't, then it's Mike Scott's responsibility to pick him up. And he didn't because he went to the wrong player. And then it's multiple reasons. And I can't blame the coach for that. I can blame the team. And then Ben Simmons gives him the ole when he goes to the basket. Ben Simmons doesn't have to worry about the player on the wing because there's not enough time to pass it out for that other player to take a shot. So once you see that LaVine came off that screen and had a free ride down the lane, you have got to do a better job defending that, and he olayed that as he came down the lane. That sucked.
No, it did suck, Howard, but I'm sorry. I don't like the scheme. You know, people have been arguing all week about Jimmy Butler should have stayed with him. I don't want one-on-one on Zach. I don't want
If you only have 5 seconds, whether Jimmy Butler, let's say Jimmy Butler got picked off the screen, but then Mike Scott's got to pick him up. Mike Scott went to the wrong player.
Absolutely.
Okay, but the coach, I don't know that the coach explained it to him or didn't explain it to him, and he's not the only coach on that bench. because that play is run by other teams. But the players have to make the play. And then Ben Simmons is the last line of defense, and then he olays it as he comes down the lane.
No, absolutely. But Howard, I just think on probability, there's a much better way to have played that play to try to make Zach LaVine pass the ball or try to make him go to the left.
Yes, there is. And the way is Mike Scott can't allow him free coming off that screen. And right, he was the first problem. So to blame the coach, I think Brett Brown's a good coach. I don't know that he's a great coach. But you can't blame him every time they do something wrong. When are the players accountable? The players have to be accountable.
Right, Howard. I just find fault with even having Mike, even saying Mike Scott should have stepped to him. I don't want Mike Scott guarding him one-on-one either. That's just not the right way to defend that play with 4.8 seconds left.
They don't have enough players. They have no bench, and their starters, obviously, I don't know that I would have wanted Embiid there, but at least he would have been at the you would think that he would have been at the basket.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so when you look at it, there's not many other options of players that can guard him.
We know they have
weak players on defense. They do not play defense very well. In the last 2 weeks, they're the fourth worst team defensively in the last 3 minutes. The fourth worst in the NBA. The fourth worst.
Yeah, well, Howard, I don't disagree, but at the end of the day, they needed to have one of the other five guys on the Bulls receive the ball and shoot the ball. And they just didn't even try the scheme that they had in place. Whether you switched or not, that scheme wasn't going to do that.
That play was going to Zach LaVine. Now, if you guard him, and again, I don't believe that's the coach's fault. Guard him and you don't make mistakes, there were multiple mistakes made on that play. And how can you ask? The coach isn't out on the floor. And we don't know how much the coach prepped him for that, but it was a poor defensive play by the Sixers. And you can't – Zach LaVine's getting the ball. It's whether you stop him or not. Zach LaVine is getting the ball.
And stopping him equals making him pass it. That's the only way you were going to stop him.
But that's the player's responsibility. That's
right,
not the coach.
But Mike Scott is not going to be able to do that.
Okay, who would you want out there? Who did you want out there?
Howard, I'm not talking about who was on the floor. I'm talking about whether you were going to ask Mike Scott or whoever to switch onto Zach LaVine and stop him without fouling him. That's not going
to
happen.
Okay, so then who would you want to do that?
Howard, they needed to basically double him and force him to pass the ball once he got it.
Wait a minute. With the doubling him, he was the inbounder. So
exactly.
are you going to have two players cover him off the inbound?
Howard, but once he gets the ball.
Again, it goes back to give me an option. Give me an option.
That's what I'm saying, okay? Once he gets the ball, you've got to double him. So okay. Mike Scott has to.
They had the floor spread.
That's okay. Mike Scott has to step up before he even gets going.
But whose fault is that?
It's Mike Scott's fault.
Okay, it's Mike Scott's fault. It can't always be. That's my point. Everybody wants it to be the coach. He's not a great coach. He's a good coach. He hasn't shown enough to be a great coach. But when do the players take accountability? Somewhere like, Mike Scott didn't even guard him because he went to the wrong player. That's because Mike Scott isn't good enough, but you don't have any other options. But that's a simple basketball play that Mike Scott can't go to the player that made the pass, and it looked like that's where he went and didn't guard LaVine. So now LaVine has an open lane, which happens all the time in the NBA, not at the end of the game. And Ben Simmons has got to come off whatever player he was supposedly guarding and give a better effort than Olay and just stick his arm out trying to block the ball. He's got to do a better job. And he did a poor job, too. So tell me, why is that Brett Brown's fault? Everybody wants to blame Brett Brown. They want to blame the head coach for everything. Whether it's football, Doug Peterson sucked. Then he ends up winning a Super Bowl. Then he sucked at the beginning of last year. Then they end up turning around. It comes down to players making plays. Same thing in baseball. Gabe Kapler did too many things last year, which probably alienated some of the players, the way he used the bullpen and the way he shifted around. But he learned from that. But in the end, if the Phillies hit, they wouldn't have struggled and wouldn't have collapsed at the end of the year. If the pitchers were consistent throughout the entire year, then that wouldn't have happened. It's easy to blame the head coach or the manager. It always is easy to blame. But somewhere, somehow, the players have to take accountability. And you can't always point to the head coach. The problem in sports is the players don't feel like they have to take accountability because they're making all that money. Especially in the NBA is a joke. The NBA is a broken product. It's a joke. It's a farce because the players, they do whatever they want. Embiid played in the All-Star game when he shouldn't have, whether he was advised or not. But you wouldn't want to annoy Joel Embiid and say, hey, Joel, you shouldn't play in the All-Star game. You got a sore knee. You shouldn't play. It didn't matter to him. It clearly didn't matter to him. Players do what they want to do. And that's the problem. And it's not just here. It's everywhere in the NBA. The NBA, not many coaches, Greg Popovich says you do something, you do it. And there's probably a few guys that can do it. Not many. Steve Kerr, because he's won championships. But he's got what seems to be a good bunch of guys that listen to the coach. But there's not many coaches that can tell the players, do this, and if they don't want to do it, they just don't do it. It's a couple other things I want to mention. There was a legendary employee of Temple, but he was more than an employee. He was in many parts the heart and soul at Temple University Athletics. Al Schreier, who I knew first when I started in the business as a sports information director. But Al did much, much more. Al was laid to rest on Wednesday, so my condolences to his wife, Ruthie, and his family. And he had a terrific outpouring of people that came to the funeral on Wednesday. And today is the last home game for the Temple head basketball coach, Fran Dunphy. He'll play in the conference tournament, and if he makes a tournament outside of that, he'll coach. But today is the last home game at McGonagall this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And for those people that want to complain about Fran Dunphy, he is an excellent and has been an excellent coach. They didn't get all the players that they needed to get. That shouldn't take away from his, in terms of recruiting, shouldn't take away from his coaching ability. It's his last year. Aaron McKee will take over next year, but it's his last home game today, and I wanted to mention that as well. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494. And on your cell phones, on AT&T, it's #9494. And on your on Verizon, same thing, #9494. We'll get back to the phones. WIP Sports Time is now 8:43. On a Saturday morning, Bryce Harper playing today. It's nice that people will get to see Bryce Harper against something other than simulated pitching. Maybe he hit a home run in a simulated game with Jared Eichhoff pitching. And people, some people made a big deal out of that. It's like that was batting practice. And a lot of players hit home runs in batting practice. Now you want to see him do it in a game. We know he's going to hit some home runs this year. He's not going to hit 50 like people expect. Right? Oh, he's playing in a small park. Then why is it only 32.5, the over-under on home runs for Bryce Harper? Why is it only 32.5? He'll hit home runs. There's no question. But there's other guys. I would not be shocked if Rhys Hoskins has more home runs than Bryce Harper this year. But if he does, that means that Bryce Harper has worked well in the lineup. Oh, he can talk about that. And I am so happy that hopefully justice may be served in some way, that Jesse Smollett, that moron that faked his own attack in Chicago, was charged with 16 felony accounts yesterday. I hope the guy goes to jail. There's other people. The people that faked that GoFundMe, the homeless guy gave him up and is giving him information. I hope those people go to jail. People that con people and break the law in a big way. It's not a small way. How much money that Jesse Smollett cost the Chicago Police Department? It's mind-boggling. So, I'm talking to you about these things, and Philadelphia is a cesspool for political corruption. Just, it's unbelievable. And they haven't even caught everybody yet. They haven't even indicted everybody yet. Oh my gosh, it's just, you know, the one term we, for your sake, hope the one term mayor, it puts out a budget. No new tax dollars. Well, how are you going to spend $5 billion and not have a tax increase? And then after if he gets elected, he would say, oops, couldn't do it. It's like the soda tax. Never pushed it. And then all of a sudden, after he got elected, he pushed it. And he was opposed to it as a city. This city, and that's not corrupt, but there's other things that are corrupt in this city. And who knows how deep it goes. All right, Adrian, what the hell do you want today?
So Howard, let me just give you some basketball knowledge on that 4.6 seconds play. You know, when you run a side-out play, you always run it against a man-to-man. So what he should have did was play the zone, went into a 2-3 zone. Now you take the pick-and-roll thing away, and you make which come catch the ball 30 feet from the basket.
You know what? It's a simple – what's simple is – Mike Scott has got to understand what he's supposed to do.
This is the whole thing. The fourth quarter, they ran 7 pick and rolls. They scored on 6 of them. So obviously, Mike Scott don't know what to do because he just kept doing the same thing.
Let me give you a heads up. Before they made all the trades this year, and that's probably a little bit of the problem, trying to mix some of the new guys in at this point. Before they made it, the Sixers are one of the worst teams defending pick and rolls. And that's with Embiid in there because he's got slow feet. He's a terrific player, but he's not very good on pick and rolls either. So they are one of the worst teams defensively defending the pick and roll. It's a joke.
And just like you said, Ben Simmons. Now, Ben Simmons is the weak side help. He's supposed to show. He never showed. He just...
Well, that's... I pointed that out. Ben Simmons gave it an ole.
Yeah, he gave an ole. He's supposed to show and cut that lane off. There's no way...
I explained it, and that's why you can't blame the coach. Ben Simmons, somebody said that... I guess it was on ESPN. It's a joke. You know, Brett Brown says whatever he can to kiss the player's ass. But he says he could be one of the best... defenders, I forget exactly what he said ever at that position. I don't know what he said, but they repeated what he said. Ben Simmons, if he wanted to, that's the problem. If players want to do things, they're athletic enough to make the NBA. But somewhere along the way, they've got to do other things and just score points. And Ben Simmons scoring, people get all this triple-double nonsense, and he didn't have a triple-double last night. It's nonsense. He's 6-for-15. All he shoots are layups and 3-foot shots. 6-for-15 sucks. Sucks.
Let me make this point, too, because I think everybody got this stuff misconstrued that Jimmy Butler is this great defensive player. He's really not. Because Jimmy Butler should have actually played him with his butt towards the Chicago bench so he wouldn't let him have to go around. He had to go the other way. I mean, Jimmy Butler, I mean, his defense is suspect to me.
He didn't play that well either.
He does everything in spots. Let me just
really break it down really simply. Nobody on that play played it well. Nobody. But the Sixers are not a good defensive team. I told you, I had somebody look up the stats for me. In the last 3 minutes of a game, the last 2 weeks, Sixers are the fourth worst defensive team in the last 3 minutes of a game in the NBA.
Yeah, man. I agree with you. I mean, their defense is horrible. They turn the ball over.
So are the Giants. So are your football Giants.
Well, hey, listen, Howard. I knew you wanted to bring the Giants in, but just remember this. We still got the two-time Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, who do you got?
He stinks. Eli Manning stinks. Lamont, I'll give you guys back-to-back dope time
good
here.
Good morning, Howard. Hey, Howard, let me tell you something. The Sixers stink on ice, Howard. Unbelievable, Howard.
They don't stink, but they're obviously not good enough to go deep in the playoffs. Not the way they are right now.
Howard, they're not even going to score. They're going to get 52 wins, Howard. How it looks. They're not going to make it.
Yeah, that'd be... Well, I didn't think at the beginning of the season they would equal that, but they should have at some point. Well, we'll see. I don't know I haven't looked close enough at their schedule and who they play at the end. They play some easy teams at the end, and they may play teams that don't. Like, they play Milwaukee near the end of the season. Yeah. I don't think they're not better than Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a better team, but they may play them when Milwaukee doesn't really need to win the game.
I know, but where Embiid at? What is he doing?
He's always hurt. What are you going to do? He's got some kind of tendonitis in his knee. I think there's a really, really good chance he'll play tomorrow against Indiana. That's what I was told. There's a really good chance he'll play against Indiana.
And another thing, let's get to the NFL now. Now, what is Howie doing trading away a monster player like that defense? Like, why?
Here's what I'm going to tell you. You didn't hear me.
And I heard you yesterday. Calling in, texting in, Ike Reese. And all of them and telling them, they got rid of him because he was not a player. He wasn't friendly. He wasn't this. But
I tweeted something. Here's what I'll tell you. And you don't check these things until he looked like he would. First of all, they need somebody to replace him. So we agree on that.
Okay.
But the one thing that I didn't really pay attention to, because we look at sacks. And we look at hits, and we look at pressures. Okay, but here's where he didn't produce. They've asked him to do other things, and they asked him to be better against the run. When he graded out, he was below average against the run. And let me get this all out here. He was below average against the run. That 99-yard run by Adrian Peterson was his mistake. In one of the Dallas games, he was terrible against the run. He would only play one side of the defensive line when they like to move guys back and forth that try to keep the offensive line on their toes when you flip guys. He wouldn't do that. And some of the players on the team just felt he was selfish. And he just wanted to get those sacks, hits, hurries to try to get more money. Because during the season, I found out he asked for more money. He wanted a new contract.
Well, Howard, can you answer this question?
Yeah, and you know, I wish I would have known that stuff before, but I didn't.
How far is Mr. Lurie in your pocket? Because you always go on his side.
No. First of all, he didn't make the deal. Howie Rosen made the deal. But here's what I'm just telling you, and I apologized earlier for not checking these things, because I like most people, thought, oh, this guy's doing a great job. Well, he did play hurt, so that's something they can't take away, but he was playing for a contract. He did play hurt.
He played, though, Howie. He played.
He did, but he didn't do what they asked him to do in many cases, and players were annoyed at that he didn't do that, that he just did what he wanted to do and was not very good against the run.
They might be 6-10 this year.
Yeah, you said that last year.
I'm just saying. Hey, they might.
I got a question for you. Did Giants make the playoffs last year?
No, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Oh, that's right.
Jimmy
Johnson, the last guy was the Giants. Yeah,
Jimmy Johnson told me to bring your application because you're going to need it back this year. You're going to be all on us.
Really? Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Who's the head coach? Yes.
You know.
Okay. That stops all that. And didn't the Eagles make the playoffs this year?
Oh, man, you tell you.
Make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, they made it.
Thanks. Dallas Cowboys win more playoff games than the Eagles this year?
Bennett's gone, though.
The Dallas Cowboys win more playoff games than the
Bennett
Eagles?
Bennett is gone. You
did
gotta
the
worry
Dallas
about
Cowboys
that.
Win more playoff games than the Eagles last year?
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Sure. No?
No, they didn't. All right. Get out of here. Dope. What a dope. Oh, my gosh. People are just, you know, get off the Cowboys because you're going to be, they cannot be really that successful without, or not really that successful with that quarterback they have, Dak Prescott. Can't happen, and it won't happen. Not with that quarterback. All right. I'm asking for your help again to support my bike ride and the Eagles Autism Challenge. I want to try to get the, I'm up over $47,000 raised. I'd like to get to 50,000. I got a really good item. It's on my Twitter page. Really good item. And he'll be the MVP this year. Game issued. Jersey signed by the Greek Freak. We'll just say Giannis. There's a picture of it on the website. Go in there and let me know what donation you would like to make for it. All right. And any donation. I said there's a fellow this morning. Nice guy. And he made a donation last year, $20. Yesterday, $25. Then I have $250. Then I have $25. Whatever it is, whether it's $5, $10, I'm just asking for your help. 94. Well, I'd like to get to 97,000, but I got 47,000 today. 94 WIP. The time is 9:58. One of the callers just called my producer, Phil Jackson. And it sounded like he wanted to make a donation to support my bike ride for the Eagles Autism Challenge. The link is on my last tweet, which has the Greek Freak autographed jersey on there. But at the end of the tweet, there's a link where you can get to my page, and it's easy enough to make a donation if you choose to do so. And certainly I would appreciate it. And it's just to tell you, it's really a great cause. It was an eye-opener for me last year to meet families that have children on the spectrum, and just the amount of money that goes to research and to help and to do those things, it's invaluable. And it's a great, I've heard from so many people who have made donations, who know families where their children are affected as well. So it's really a good thing. Bike ride wasn't easy last year too, by the way. I signed up for it. It was raining. It was cold. And I did it. And I feel good that I did. There's a 50, a 30, and a 15. I did the 15 mile, and that was okay. I don't know that I know I wouldn't have been able to finish the 30. If I trained for it for a while, I could do the 30. But the bike was great, and it was all kinds of designs on it, which was great. People, I'm sure, at some point saw it. And if they haven't, I think they might be doing another one for me this year. But it's got a lot of good, cool stuff on it. And it's a great bike, too, from Guy's Bikes up in One Street Road in Ben Salem. Tom, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
Hi.
Hi. I just have a comment and then a question.
Sure.
Well, first of all, it's about your boy LeBron James. I am so glad that that team is just falling apart. That is just...
Were you one of the guys that wanted him for the Sixers last year?
No, okay. I can't stand him.
There was a lot of people that wanted him, and I'm saying, you're making a mistake. You don't want him. You don't want him.
I just can't stand. I can't stand him. I'm like you. I'm a Larry Bird guy, and there's no doubt in my mind Larry Bird was better than LeBron James.
Oh, there's no question. There's absolutely no question. Anybody that knows an ounce of anything about basketball knows that Larry Bird was a better player, and LeBron can't be better than Larry Bird. It's just not going to happen. I don't care how many points he scores. In a league that does not defend anybody. They don't defend anybody.
Yeah, like you said about assists, it's just so easy for today to get assists. It's ridiculous. You know?
Assists, points, there's no defense. I mean, if LeBron played in today's game, he'd get put on his ass. Anybody who comes down the lane and just gets a free ride to the basket, they would be going down. But now nobody touches anybody. Nobody defends.
I know. But do you think the Embiid injury, do you think it can linger into the playoffs?
Yes, I do. At some point, he's just...
I mean, is it worse
he's that
than you're
guy.
Saying,
it's not a guard with that injury. It's a guy that carries around a lot of weight because of his size. Yeah, I think you're going to see this for the rest of his career at different points. It's not something that you're going to fix. You can make it better to allow him to play, but it's really not something that it's going to go away completely.
Do you think it's worse than they're saying?
Well, it obviously was worse than they were letting on, but. I think they're just trying to get him as healthy as they can at this point and then move on and hope he lasts through the playoffs. But that's a big ask, too. He's going to play. And in the playoffs, he'll play hurt. They're trying to get him as healthy as possible. And that's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
Can you see him winning? If they play Boston, I don't know if they can beat Boston. Do you?
The way it looks right now... it'd be foolish to say that they could beat Boston. It'd be foolish because Boston they find ways to beat them. They're too quick up and down the floor, and that's where they're the kind of team that causes Embiid problems because they really don't have a center per se, but they're just too quick for the way Embiid plays.
It seems like they guard Simmons really well too. Simmons really.
Here's the thing: is they play against Simmons well because they don't have to guard him. They just don't let him get the lane.
He's shooting free throws better though. Have you noticed?
That's great. That's wonderful. All right.
Thanks a lot, Howard.
It's great. Let's see in a big game at the end of the game. The fact that a player like that. What did he go to the free throw line three times last night? Three times. Got to do more than that if you're the point guard. Chuck, what numbers do we have today, Chuck? What are you going to roll out for me today?
On this gorgeous Saturday morning, I don't want to disappoint you. Let's look beyond the hype. I'm going to read very quickly. I'm going to read five bar lines, and you tell me fair, good, great. Easy. We'll keep it easy.
Okay.
Fair, good, great. I'm going to go slow. Not because you're aging, just because I want to keep it. So here we go. Right. 26 doubles, 22 home runs, 59 RBIs. What do we check? Fair, good, great.
26.
Yep.
And what was the last?
26, 22, 59.
But there's no walks in there, right?
No, I just want to give you these three, and I want to establish fair, good, great. Okay.
26 doubles is nice, but...
22 home runs, 59 RBIs.
I would say fair.
Okay, let's go real quick so we don't tie up too much time. 24, 20, 58. Fair?
Same thing.
Okay.
Same thing.
And that's fair, by the way. The next one, 10, 13, 32. 10, 13, 32.
Is that Bryce Harper?
Yeah, that's poor, right?
Based on the other numbers.
Yeah, okay. Here we go, 24, 24, 86.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
There you go. Check good. So I'm with you so far.
Okay.
27, 29, 87.
That's a little above good. Yeah.
Okay, so what you just gave him an evaluation 5 out of 7 years as poor, too fair, a good, and slightly above good. And, of course, he had his Hall of Fame year, just to be fair, 38, 42, and he actually didn't have a – that's hard to believe. You could have 38 doubles, 42 home runs, and not manufacture 100 RBIs in a lineup where a lot of other guys hit that
year. I can't figure that out, too.
But that's
hard to figure out when he has all that and he doesn't – and he only had 1 year where he had 100 RBIs, right?
Yeah, you know, Howard, the fun with –
we're talking about Harper now, obviously.
Yeah, Harper, the last year, he finally had 100 RBIs one time. It's just a lot more hype – then he's performed, and I love Philadelphia fans. I'm one of them, and I'm excited about it. I want to be clear. My friends all week have said, I'm surprised you're not. I just bought two more Diamond Club seats. I'm very excited.
Oh, that's good. I'll sit with you one game.
But I'm going to give you three hustle stats to end this thing. Here we go. His 1.51 range factor per nine. That's just range factor per nine.
Yeah,
it's lowest in baseball. It's not hustling. How about this?
You're talking about him in the outfield.
Outfield. All right. How about this? How about only, you know, when you see anybody get a triple, except for the speed merchant guys. You know, guys got to hustle for the old fashioned triple rose. You got to hustle. You got to bust
right.
down the plate.
You got to turn some of those doubles into triples. Yeah.
Thank you. There you go. Set the table again. Thank you. Six triples in his last 140 doubles. Does that sound a little bit off to you?
At it does. You know, and that park's a little bit bigger, so he should be. Yeah. He should be more, but I'll say this, you know, people, John Ritchie got on me. He says, you didn't really want him. I says, no, I didn't want him at over $30 million a year because
right.
then
That's
it was,
exactly
it,
right.
then it just kind of tied your payroll up, you know, and by the way, let me reiterate, John Middleton never said stupid money. If you look at the quote, he never said that,
right.
But it's all in professional sports. It's all ridiculous. But when you give a guy like that and the Phillies held firm and weren't going to give him $30 million a year.
No, they got him at the right price.
Yeah, and then they threw those 3 years on at the end, and who knows what players are going to be getting at that point. And he won't be, whatever it is, he probably won't be worth it. But that doesn't matter because that's so far down the line. But it allows them the flexibility at $25 million, a little over $25 million a year, to be able to get other players and put them in there. So at that number, he's a good player. I mean, I think we all agree he's a good player. But the hype is because of WIP. The hype is because of Twitter. The hype is because of the long period of time it took to sign him. Oh,
exactly.
Bryce Harper. But he is a good player. But the hype made him sound like a better player. Here's the other thing I don't know.
People
say he's the face of baseball. He's the face over the last 3 months. Yeah, he's the face over the last 3 months. Because it was all the hype when he was a free agent. When if Aaron Judge ever got to that point, and I'm not a big Aaron Judge fan, I think he's good, but there's other players out there that are real. Mookie Betts, my gosh, if Mookie Betts was ever a free agent, oh my gosh, he'd get at least $35 million a year.
He's the second best player in baseball. And I'll tell you, when you look at it objectively, which we'll do when we have dinner, I'll show you, and I don't have the thing against Harper, I don't. I'll show you where he's not a top 10 player. And I know that's going to get a lot of reaction in the Philadelphia area. He's not a top 10 player. And give out my cell phone number to anybody who thinks he is and just have a fair debate.
He's who's not a top 10 player? Who's not?
Harper, he's not a top 10 player. And I'll show it to you at dinner.
He's close. He's somewhere around 8 or 9, I think. But, we could
be. Okay, top war, Harper or Hoskins for next year? Top better war, Harper, Hoskins, real quick.
I would say Hoskins.
Check Harper Herrera next year. War. We're still on war.
Yeah, I don't like Herrera, so I'm going to say Harper.
Right,
I don't like Herrera.
Harper Realmuto, the catcher. Which one?
Well, that's interesting because as a catcher, he really gives you a lot more defensively than Harper's going to give you in right field.
And he's coming off a couple fives. So you're going to go Realmuto there, right?
Yes.
Okay, how about batting average? Harper or Hoskins batting average?
That's going to be close. That is really going to be close.
Yeah, this is dinner.
I'm going to give you, for this one, I'm going to give you Harper.
Check, and we're going to do the exact same thing. Harper, Herrera, batting average. Think about that.
Well, Herrera is supposed to be in this new...
Rebound year. He's not going to be grinding.
I would say Herrera, not that I really...
Oh,
I think Herrera
I can't
stinks.
Believe you just did that to me. I got to hang up if he's doing that. All right, the last one's Harper Realmuto for a batting average.
Oh, Realmuto.
All right, we got it, bud. Have a good weekend. It's always nice talking to you.
And Chuck, thank you, and always thanks for the support that you've given me. And the support you've given me with the bike ride on the Eagles Autism Challenge. Thanks.
And
so
you
much.
Give it right back my way when we ask. So it's a fun thing that's what we're doing with our lives, huh?
Okay. Thanks,
Good
Chuck.
Work. Keep it up.
Take care.
Keep it up.
94 WIP. You know, this analytics stuff, I we'll talk about when we come back. The value of players and It's an interesting argument. Bryce Harper is a very good player, but the hype has gotten out of control. But there should be hype because in this year, and I don't know if he was better than Machado. I would have rather had Machado. If they didn't get Realmuto, I would have rather had Machado. But you needed a left-handed bat. But the reality is, he and Machado just happened to be come out as free agent at the right time. So you get a lot of hype. There is a lot of hype. and Harper handled himself extremely well during that news conference. And so far, I don't think he liked the questions the next day when they asked him about mentioning Trout. He's not going to mention Trout again. He won't mention his name. In the end, I don't know that the Angels aren't going to re-sign Trout. So from that standpoint, they're going to offer him so much money, and he's worth every penny. He's worth every penny, Mike Trout, every penny. 94 and Harper's first game this afternoon, and you can hear that this afternoon on 94 WIP as we broadcast the game. It's good to hear. Last night I heard a little bit of L.A.'s back with Fransky. Kevin Franson does a really nice job, but there's nothing like Fransky in L.A. in the booth together. 94 WIP will get to your phone calls. WIP Sports Time is now 9:18. You get a shiver in the 94 WIP. Today is the day. It's only spring training, but it's Bryce Harper's first, I will say, real at-bats, even though it's an exhibition game. It's a better, gives you a better idea. Not that I think anybody has any questions. Gives you a better idea rather than facing simulated pitching. All right, let's go to Dan. Dan, you're on WIP. And the game, by the way, can be heard on 94 WIP at 1 o'clock. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how are you? I just have a little comment about NBA and nobody's playing defense. I think you're totally right about it, but do you think that happens because refs, they're just calling everything? Seems like sometimes they touch each other and it's just a whistle.
No, I don't think that's the case. How can there be a whistle when guys don't touch anybody coming down the lane? How can there be a whistle?
They don't touch, but sometimes they just jump together and they whistle everything.
Here's where I think the problem lies. The NBA fines people if you hit a player too hard. It's a flagrant. And two flagrants, and then you get fined, and then you get suspended. Back in the day, you would defend, and if it was a legitimate tough foul, not intentional, but a legitimate tough foul, but players are afraid to touch any other players. That's the reality. They're really afraid to touch them and defend them the way they should, especially when they're coming down the lane. And they just allow them to go down until you get to the playoffs. They just allow them to go down the lane. It's really kind of a joke.
It's a joke and it's a disgrace.
It's a joke and a disgrace.
I agree with that. It just looks like back in the day, they really try to defend, and it's just,
they don't defend anymore.
To watch.
I tell you what, they don't defend anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I totally agree with that. And you know one thing? I wouldn't be surprised if he got high blood pressure from all them Giants and Cowboys fans calling in. And I agree. Eli ain't going nowhere, that's for sure.
No, not lately. The Giants stink.
Not lately. Okay, great show. I always listening to you. Great show.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. Thank you. 94 WIP. Let's go to Mark. You're on WIP.
Howard, how are you?
Never had a bad day in my life.
You're blessed. Howard, real quickly, I called about the Sixers, but I got to make a Roman Quinn comment. I know he's hurt right now.
He's always hurt. That's the sad part. He's always hurt.
He's a talented baseball player. I mean, he's got something that this team can really use, and that is speed at the top of that lineup.
Yeah, we know that, but he's hurt all the time.
I mean, don't you think he's better than Herrera?
Yes, I do, actually.
Right, and wouldn't you like to see him be your everyday center fielder?
Yes, but he's always hurt. Yes, 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 and yes, but he's always hurt.
I agree. But, you know, hopefully he gets healthy and he can be that guy out there. Also, real quickly, the pitching staff. I think we can both agree this pitching staff's not good enough. It's just not. I mean, the lineup, they did a great job strengthening the lineup. The pitching staff, 3, 4, 5, when you get into the grind of the season, it's not going to get it done.
We don't know that yet.
We've seen it before. Where has Pivetta, Velasquez, Ben Lively, where have they proven themselves? Like, you knew when Aaron Nola
I'm not counting on Lively.
On as the fifth starter.
Yeah, but I think there'll be somebody else. I'm not counting on him. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not counting on him.
Well, you got to count on him the first couple months of the season, and every game's
important.
No,
actually, that's when you don't have to count on him, because there's a lot. They've built in a lot of days off, which is really kind of a joke. It's just they've built in a lot of days off, so I don't think you're going to need the fifth starter as much as you think you do.
I'm going to switch gears to the Sixers. That game last night was very appalling to watch. Now, third game, 4 days. The defense, it was like five.
Their defense is a joke.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Absolutely terrible.
Yep.
And Embiid, when he's in the game, obviously he makes up for their mistakes because he could block shots and he's a distraction around the rim. But he's a terrible defender on ball screens. He doesn't hedge
up.
He's
not very good with the pick and roll because he's got that
terrible
slow feet. Yeah,
he is. And you made a point a couple minutes ago about the Celtics. The Celtics are so much quicker than the Sixers on both ends of the floor. They're so much more athletic than the Sixers. And Ben Simmons, I would really, really think about moving him in the offseason. I really would. I mean, you made another good point.
I don't want to give him a max contract. I do not want to give him a max contract.
You know, the thing, when you look at some of these stars like Harden and back in the day, AI, and guys that can score the ball, and I know he's not a scorer, but you got to put pressure on the defense and get to the line. I mean, come on. He's too nonchalant out there. He throws the ball away. To me, it's all about his image.
And why do you worry about his image?
No, it seems like he's worried about his image. I mean, he just goes, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's got all about being cool and passes.
There's a lot of guys like that. They made a big deal the other night of a no-look pass. It wasn't a no-look pass. He just happened to turn his head to make it look good. Here, and thanks for the call. Here is part of the issue when players try to, whatever they try to do, mug for the camera when they dunk, because there's cameras there, because they know that gets on a highlight. It's all about highlights. It's all ESPN, I know, is a station to supply us with news and video, but now we get video on our phones. But ESPN has created this problem, because when a player does that, he mugs at the camera, they'll look at that. They make a big deal out of plays that really aren't a big deal. They're really not as big a deal as they make them out to be. In the NBA now, big guys are really athletic. Big guys are athletic. Big guys can shoot, except Ben Simmons. But it's a whole different world. And the reason they are the way they are and they dress the way they dress, and if they want to dress that way, I have no problem with that. Jimmy Butler with the headband flapping in the back, and I don't even know what to call it. It wasn't even a headband, but it was just, I guess he wanted to be cool the other night. Ben Simmons wears a headband once in a while. I guess when he wants to be, some days he wants to be cooler than other days, but Ben Simmons mugs to the camera when he dunks the ball. Everybody, I say everybody. I wonder if TJ McConnell, next time I see him, I got to ask him if he can dunk the ball. But I believe everybody in the NBA can dunk. So that's not a big deal anymore. To watch highlights and see a dunk, is that a big deal because somebody dunks it harder than the other guy? Now, if it's off a rebound and you grab it one-handed and you've made a good play off a rebound and you follow it up with a dunk, that's really pretty good. That's a nice highlight, and that's nice to watch. But the others, it's like just to go down the lane and dunk the ball, And LeBron's made a history out of dunking it hard. If you do something with it, you make a spin and you do a 360, that's showing off, but at least that's something different. That is something different in a game. But to show a highlight of a norm of just a regular dunk of a guy going down the lane. Now, if it's a good move and you're dunking over somebody, which is an athletic play, it's not athletic anymore to just dunk. But that's a big deal. ESPN makes a big deal out of that. The game has turned into a three-point shooting contest. There's not many teams that work for a better shot. There are teams that work for an open shot, but they work for that shot around the three-point line. Not a team that really puts enough effort into working for a layup because they'd rather have the three-point shot. And this is where analytics have really screwed up. They screw up sports in a lot of ways because teams do things that for analytics reasons and not for making them a better team. For all those years, I would say the Utah Jazz is one of the teams. And then when Steve Nash was with Phoenix, the Jazz had Stockton. The Suns had, well, they had Kevin Johnson at one time. Then they had Steve Nash, who was absolutely sensational. Steve Nash, now that, it's an interesting, Steve Nash is a great player and a Hall of Famer and all that. But Steve Nash, and to compare Ben Simmons to a Hall of Famer is unfair to Steve Nash. But a guard that could shoot, point guard that could shoot, could pass, could do all the things that you needed to do, that you needed a point guard to do, but they would work for a better shot. Now teams don't work for a better shot. They just work for what basically is an open three-point shot. That's not a better shot. It's easier to score at the basket, and it should be easier to score within 10 feet, although Ben Simmons finds that a real problem to score within 10 feet. And I go back to last night, 6 for 15. And all those shots were within 3 feet of the basket. That's not good. But that's the difference in the NBA. So showing off, that's all these guys want to do. And for the guy that wanted Roman Quinn, that wanted Roman Quinn as your center fielder, Roman Quinn has had 8 major injuries. Now, I would say that's a lot. I don't have to say it. Anybody can say it. That's a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries. Roman Quinn is a better player than Herrera, but you're not better if you don't stay on the field. Kevin Cooney sent me a text that Eflin will get more of a crack than Lively. There'll be somebody that we don't even think about that will be the fifth starter. I'm not worried about Ben Lively. And they're going to see what they have. And if the Phillies don't have enough, if the Phillies do not have enough in starting pitching when it gets to midway through the season, they will make a trade. There's no question they will make a trade. And I don't want Keuchel either. For all these people, oh, they go out and get Keuchel. Look at Keuchel's numbers last year. Is he regressing in the wrong way? I mean, obviously he's had some good years. But Scott Boras, Scott Boras is not being fair to his clients. Keuchel's not going to get the money that he wants. Guy's got to get, and then just sign a one-year contract, have a good year, and then try to get a contract after that. But they don't want to do that. And then when they have a bad year, do they give back money? No, 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 no. And Kimbrel, I mean, the money he's probably, I saw a number, he was asking for 6 years for $100 million. Is he out of his mind? Or the agent, is the agent out of their minds? 6 years. And I think Kimbrel is right around 30 years old. 6 years for a relief pitcher. Right around the age of 30, 6 years at that money, are you at, and he's already, it appears that he doesn't have as much confidence, doesn't have as much control now, but he doesn't have as much confidence in his fastball because he's throwing more breaking balls. I don't want Kimbrel either. So I don't want either. I don't want either one of them. I don't want either Keuchel or Kimbrel. Roman Quinn's injuries have not been good ones either. They have not been good ones. By the way, Bryce Harper will bat third today in the lineup for the Phillies. I haven't seen the whole lineup yet, but I'll run down the lineup when we come back. I'll find it. I'll run down the lineup. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. Who do you want the Eagles to bring in at defensive end? Michael Bennett. It's official, but it can't be announced as official until next week. And I understand the reasons they got. When you look just on the surface, and I'll explain them again if you hadn't heard me mention them earlier. You look on the surface, say, how could they get rid of Michael Bennett? Well, I'll explain that. And again, there's no question that they have to replace him. 94 WIP, the time now is 940. WIP. All right, let me give you the lineup for the Phillies, where Bryce Harper is hitting third today as the DH. Now, obviously, when they start playing the season for games in the American League City, he will have to play right field. So here it is, McCutchen leading off, and I'm okay with that during the season. I don't think Segura will hit second, but he does today. All right, let me give you the lineup, and I'll tell you what I think will and will happen during the season. Segura bats two and plays shortstop. McCutchen plays center field today. Harper's at DH. He bats third. Hoskins at first base bats fourth. Batting fifth and catching was Realmuto. Batting sixth and playing second base is Scott Kingery. Batting seventh and playing left field, Cousins. Walding will play third base and bat eighth, and Adams will play right field and bat ninth. Now, I think McCutchen could lead off at some times this year because he does walk a lot. They love that stuff. I think he was among outfielders. I think he was third in Major League Baseball among outfielders last year. Segura won't hit second. Hernandez will probably hit second. Harper will, I'm sure, will hit anywhere from two, three, or four. Probably hit two or three most times because they love his walks. And then Hoskins will probably, for the most part, be right around the four spot. Realmuto will probably be five. Kingery or Franco will probably be, well, actually, six will be either Herrera or Franco, and then the other will be seventh. Eighth, I forget who I'm missing. Who's the left? McCutchen's in left field. But anyway, shortstop. Segura's got to be there. And Segura's got to be somewhere between five, six, and seven. So they'll have guys down at the bottom of the lineup. But at the top, Segura's the only player that probably won't, he doesn't walk a lot. He probably will not hit second, but he is today and playing shortstop. So it's McCutchen, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Kingery, Cousins, Walding, and Adams. And Jake Arrieta is the pitcher. We'll get to see. And here, you can hear it right here on WIP. You'll get to hear Bryce Harper's three, maybe four at-bats if we're lucky. Three, maybe four at-bats. All right. Let me mention the injuries for, and I'd love to see Roman Quinn be the center fielder. But he was injured again this spring. His injuries, major injuries. Torn Achilles tendon, torn left quadricep, concussion, strained elbow ligament, torn right middle finger ligament, broken toe, right oblique strain. This guy can really be good, but he has to stay healthy. And I don't think that he will stay. It's obvious that he's not going to stay healthy. All right, get ready this week. Okay, so Bryce Harper plays today. You can get excited about that. It's the first spring training game. He's got to get real at-bats. It's simulated nonsense, and that's just nonsense. That's batting practice. You can simulate it all you want. That's really batting practice, especially for good hitters. That's just batting practice. So he'll play in some games. I don't think he'll play every day. They'll try to. I'm sure Gabe Kapler has a plan on the games. He already has a plan on how many games he's going to play him and figure out the at-bats that he's going to get ready for the opener, which will be March 28th here. By the way, that's way too early. No way you can start the season on the East Coast on March 28th. That's ridiculous. Baseball, because they want to build in more days off, that's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous to play. Should be playing, if you're going to start the season that early, play on the West Coast and then play in the South in Florida. It's ridiculous. Or play in dome stadiums. But the start here on March 28th, but that's when the season starts. It's March 28th, and the Phillies do start at home. And then they go to Washington in the first week, which really should be interesting as well. This week, and we have our town hall is what they, I don't know what the official name is, our town hall, which is Monday at McGurk's. So everybody will be out there at one time or another. I'll be out there in the afternoon between 4 and 5 to talk about the Eagles. And at that point, that late in the afternoon, and again, they can't do it officially, but there'll be free agent signings that will have happened by that time, which I'm sure we'll all know about. Like I said, the Michael Bennett thing is done. They trade him to New England for a 2020 fifth-round draft pick, and they trade Michael Bennett with a seventh-round pick. So it's basically flip-flopping, not this draft, but the year after. And I want to see, for draft picks, I want to see if New England actually gives him the money he wants. He wants somewhere around $10 million a year. I don't know at 34 years of age he's going to get that. This will be interesting, but I'm sure something. Well, Michael Bennett, if he's going to play, be curious to see what the Patriots do. But whatever. The Eagles will probably have identified a defensive end to replace him in free agency or within a trade. And that's another thing that I think we can count on 100%. The Eagles will have made some trades. They will add positions. They, I'm sure, will add defensive line, running back, wide receiver. They need a safety somewhere along the way. You can't expect every year that Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod are going to play every year. That's another thing that the Eagles have to deal with. All right, a couple of things today. And by the way, Chuck, with all his numbers, will actually put in some good numbers and make a donation to my bike ride in the Eagles Autism Challenge. He will donate $2,701 last year, and Mike Trout told me he'd do it again this year. I don't talk to Mike Trout about baseball. I just talk to him about important things, Eagles football to him anyway. Baseball's important to him and his donation. Mike Trout last year, and he said he'd do it again this year, $2,700 for his number 27. But Chuck wants to one-up him, $2,701, one for being the best player in baseball, and he is the best player in baseball. And whatever I wouldn't complain about anything that Mike Trout gets paid as a player. If he gets $40 to $45 million a year, he's worth every penny. Because for the best, you got to pay him like he's the best. But that's not going to, the Angels may do that before it gets to his point of free agency, which I'm sure they will try to do it. They've already started negotiations, so we'll see how that plays out. But thanks to Chuck and Grimley Financial. That's Chuck's company, Grimley Financial, $2,701, which he's going to put up today. And anybody else that donates, and the link is on my Twitter and my Facebook, and it's with there, which is a good item that I think if you look down the line, this year's MVP in the NBA will be the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, whatever way you pronounce his name. I've got a game-issue jersey autographed by him for a donation to my bike ride. And anybody else, again, whether it's 5, 10, 20, 100, whatever you want to donate, if you so choose, that would be great, and thanks for all your help. Phil Jackson was on the other side today. Coming up are Ray and Glenn from Delaware Park. And I will see you, let me see, next, what's that? Oh, okay, Rob Ellis and Glenn. Ray's on vacation. Okay, well, thanks for letting me know. Rob Ellis and Glenn. And then I will see you Monday at McGurk's with everybody else out in Horsham, a couple miles down the road from my golf club, Commonwealth National. So it's easy to get to for those people that want to go out there. And today I may see you this afternoon. Fran Dunphy, and I think it's important that we mentioned this. Fran Dunphy is a good basketball coach. Matter of fact, he's better than a good basketball coach. He's a terrific basketball coach. Terrific. Over a 30-year career, he has done fantastic things with coaching basketball teams. Hasn't had as much success as he once with Temple. They win today. Most people think they will get an NCAA tournament bid, even though they have to go through their conference tournament, because beating UCF would be a major accomplishment. And Temple's actually a favorite today. So that would be really important for Fran Dunphy and for Temple. But it's his last home game at the Leah course, last home game for Temple. Aaron McKee is taking over next year. He'll have more games, but this will be the last home game. And I will be there as a celebration to a terrific coaching career by the head coach of Temple right now, Fran Dunphy. Did some great things at Penn as well. So everybody have a great weekend. I will see you, if I see you at Temple this afternoon, great. If not, I'll see you somewhere on the air at McGurk's on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend and be safe. WIP Sports Time 957.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.